A woman once bought her dream car, a sleek luxury SUV she'd admired for years. She paid cash, stayed within budget, and drove it proudly for months. Then one day, she sold it at a loss and bought something cheaper. Why? Because every time someone complimented it, she felt embarrassed rather than excited. She'd bought it to prove something to others, not because she truly wanted it. That's the strange paradox of money. Two people can make identical financial decisions, yet one thrives while the other struggles, not because of what they bought, but because of why they bought it. Understanding this difference isn't just helpful for your bank account, it's transformative for your entire life. Money doesn't reveal your math skills, it reveals your heart, your fears, your childhood, and the stories you tell yourself about who you are. Your financial journey isn't ultimately about what you keep, it's about what you give and who you become along the way. Your childhood dinner table created your financial operating system, the unconscious beliefs driving today's money decisions. Did parents discuss bills calmly or did tension fill the room? These moments shaped everything. Children grow up in four distinct money environments. The anxious classroom felt tense but silent. Parents worried constantly without explaining why. Children watched mothers count exact change, learning every penny mattered while the bigger picture remained hidden. The unstable classroom combined chaos with brutal honesty through screaming matches about bills. Children experienced financial whiplash, denied school shoes one week, taken on shopping sprees the next. This unpredictability created confusion about security and priorities. The unaware classroom felt calm because money wasn't discussed. Parents either had plenty or shielded children from reality. Like passengers partying on a drifting boat, everyone assumed someone else was steering. These children reach adulthood with no practical money skills. The secure classroom was ideal, emotionally calm and verbally transparent. Parents made intentional decisions, children witnessed and understood. Money conversations happened regularly without stress. These children learned money is a tool requiring attention, not shame or mystery. Your childhood money classroom doesn't define your future, but understanding it explains your present. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. Why do couples see the same bank account differently? One sees opportunity, the other danger. These aren't personality flaws. They're natural money tendencies. Saver or spender? Savers find security in growing balances. Spenders see possibilities, vacations, improvements, daily joy. Neither is wrong, but extremes create problems. Nerd versus free spirit. Nerds love spreadsheets and planning. Free spirits trust things will work out. Surprisingly, nerds aren't always savers. Some meticulously track spending sprees. Experiences or things. Some sacrifice possessions for travel. Others prefer quality furniture or comfortable homes. Opposite tendencies create conflict. Quality versus quantity. One expensive coat lasting decades or five trendy jackets. Quality seekers research extensively and maintain possessions carefully. Quantity lovers enjoy variety and frequent replacements. Safety versus status. Do you want money for security or as a success scorecard? Safety-oriented people build emergency funds. Status-oriented people view money as validation, using purchases to signal achievement. Understanding these tendencies isn't about changing yourself. It's recognizing natural inclinations to make intentional choices rather than reactive ones. Fear drives every financial decision. Healthy fear sharpens focus. It's why you lock doors and buy insurance. But when fear becomes your financial advisor, it paralyzes thinking and traps you in destructive patterns. The most common fear is not having enough. With 78% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck and only 61% able to cover a $400 emergency with cash, this anxiety reflects reality. The antidote isn't positive thinking, it's practical preparation. Start with a $1,000 emergency fund. Then attack all debt except your mortgage using the debt snowball method. Finally, build 3 to 6 months of expenses in savings. This sequence creates breathing room and options. You can change jobs, save toward dreams, and actually sleep at night. Some fear their dreams will never materialize, so they stop dreaming altogether. Others believe they can't win with money because they're not smart enough. But personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. Your discipline and daily choices matter far more than your IQ. The fear of man drives countless unhealthy spending decisions. People buy luxury cars, designer items, or homes beyond their means to impress others. The average American carries $14,500 in credit card debt, funding lifestyles they can't afford. Before purchasing, ask, if no one ever sees this, do I still want it? Contentment transforms spending by shifting what you value. Start with gratitude. Write three things you're thankful for daily. Content people spend thoughtfully, eliminate debt, save consistently, and give generously. Everyone makes money mistakes, from forgotten bills to unaffordable purchases. Our response profoundly impacts both finances and relationships. Most people lean toward extremes, too much grace or too little. Enablers make excuses and shield others from consequences, offering endless chances without boundaries. They say next month will be better while reaching for credit cards. One mother supported her 34-year-old son a decade after he dropped out of school, unable to hold a job. By preventing natural consequences, she'd stunted his development. We set people up for failure when we teach them they need more of us and less of themselves. Legalism, the opposite extreme, values rules over people. Legalists maintain impossibly high standards, berating themselves mercilessly when they fall short. They treat others' minor oversights like major betrayals. Living with legalistic people is exhausting. You'll never measure up. The solution requires balancing grace and truth. View mistakes as learning opportunities. Ask, what is this teaching? What led to that choice? What needs to change? People with healthy boundaries help without being controlled by outcomes. They recognize they can only control themselves, not fix others. If establishing your own financial foundation, recognize you can't help financially yet. If you can help, ensure you and your spouse agree, make clear arrangements with specific expectations, and check progress regularly. The goal is genuine long-term help, not enabling behavior that keeps people stuck. Saving isn't a burden. It's the opportunity to set aside money for your future and dreams. When you truly want something, retirement freedom, fighting poverty, adopting a child, you'll happily save for it because saving gives you freedom to follow what matters most. People fall into two camps, dreamers and realists. Dreamers constantly generate new ideas and focus on big pictures rather than details. For them, saving is easy when deeply committed, but challenging when impatient. Realists thoroughly consider fewer ideas, immediately getting practical about execution. Some get overwhelmed by numbers, while others excel at saving through meticulous plans. Three major dream killers are the daily grind, naysayers, and trauma. Daily routines distract us from dreaming, while others, and our internal critic, tell us our dreams aren't realistic. Categorize dreams into three types: short-term, within 2 years, long-term, beyond 2 years, and shared, experiences with loved ones. Not all dreams deserve equal pursuit. Dreams should inspire you, challenge you, and make a difference, not just accumulate possessions. Before pursuing a dream, examine what you truly want. Wanting a bigger house might actually be about spending quality time with family, achievable through less expensive alternatives. Once you've defined meaningful dreams, prioritize them like rocks in a bucket. Start with big ones, like debt payoff and retirement, before smaller ones. Break each dream into specific dollar amounts with realistic timeframes, turning abstract dreams into concrete reality. Money reveals what's in your heart. True financial peace comes not from accumulating wealth, but from becoming generous and open-handed. Without this transformation, anxiety over not having enough simply becomes anxiety over losing what you have. There are two approaches, close-fisted or open-handed. Close-fisted people hoard from fear. Open-handed people understand nothing truly belongs to them. They manage resources for a greater purpose, holding things loosely and giving freely. Giving while getting finances under control seems counterintuitive, but it offers three benefits. First, it makes you selfless, fighting our culture's self-centered focus. Second, giving brings genuine joy. Third, it builds faith by creating opportunities to experience provision beyond your own efforts. The most common objection is not having enough. Start with 10% of income, then increase once debt is eliminated. Give off the top, the first thing done with each paycheck. Beyond money, give time, talent, and possessions. Giving is the antidote to fear. Through generosity, we experience faithfulness, develop bigger hearts, and see beyond ourselves, opening new possibilities we couldn't imagine when operating from scarcity. In a world that whispers you don't have enough, choosing to give freely is revolutionary.